Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have some visitors with us from Atlanta. Men of the congregation, rest easy. We always joke about how if I drop dead, we know that the word of God would be preached some way. We've got a minister in the house of the church, of the Lord's church. So men of South Valley, you're off the hook today. That if God decides to bring me home right now, Don, you're off the hook.
You better
behave. Yeah. Before we get started, there's a couple of prayer requests that I'd like for us to address as brothers and sisters. Judy Shattuck's sister, Pat. Many of you might remember, it's been a number of years since she's been here and visited with us. She is in ICU in Lubbock, Texas, with severe bleeding. Her aorta is failing. Her kidneys are beginning to fail, and she's too weak for surgery. So let's remember Pat and Judy and the family at this time. Also, we have a request for prayers for the Robinson family. My aunt's husband's mother passed away this week. And so we need to remember, you know, that's always tough, even if it was expected. That's still tough to deal with. And also, Armita's sister-in-law, Martha Arellano. Has been hospitalized with COVID, and it has developed into pneumonia. She is in critical care right now. Please pray for Martha. She cannot have visitors, and they can no longer talk on the phone. Her husband needs our prayers also. Sometimes it is tougher on the loved ones than it is the person that is ill. Before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these brothers and sisters. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We're thankful for the blessings that you give us, and we ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. We want our prayers to be heard by you, our Creator. Dear God, we ask special request right now on behalf of Armita's sister-in-law, Martha. We ask that you be with her, be with the doctors as they treat her. We hope that she is comforted, and our desire is that she will fully recover and get back to her full measure of health. We ask that you be with her family, her husband at this time. Comfort them. It is very tough on the loved ones and the family members when family are sick. We also pray for Judy Shattuck's sister, Pat. Many of us have met her and know her. She is a sweet, sweet, faithful sister of yours. And we ask that you be with her, be with the doctors. Dear God, more than that, be with us and help be able to comfort Judy at this time, who feels helpless and out of state and can't help her sister. We ask that we can be able to comfort Judy as her brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear God, whatever happens with Pat, we pray that her family will remain strong and continue to praise you. Dear God, we also ask prayers for the Robinsons right now with losing a beloved family member. That is so tough. And even when Christians are prepared, the loss of a family member or loved one is very tough for those that remain behind. Dear God, we ask that you again forgive us of the sins that we commit, and we thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for prayer, that we can approach our God and Father boldly and offer our request. Thank you for everything you do for us, and we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Let's get into our lesson. The lesson today is called Numbers and God. We touched on the idea a little bit today in our Sunday morning Bible class. It is very natural to look around. There's no doubt this is a smaller size congregation. There are congregations that have hundreds or even thousands of members. And as small as we are, there are congregations of the Lord's body that are meeting right now that have fewer members than us. It has never been an issue of numbers with God. Never. It is just a matter of fact that God's people, whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, right now, we have always been in the minority. We always will be. And numbers have never been the issue. It's not like God looks down on a congregation that is large and is happier and more pleased with them than he is with us. He's not more pleased with us than a congregation that might be meeting with seven faithful Christians right now. Faithful Christians are faithful Christians. Case closed. I'd like for us to look at some examples of these concepts straight out of God's Word. Our scripture reading today, and I appreciate Frank for reading this. This is, again, from what we would refer to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." If you want the gate that is easiest to find, go to the broad gate. But unfortunately, that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. Difficult, not impossible. Not impossible, difficult, takes effort, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In the comparison, we look at this scripture, there's either going to be many going through one gate and few who go in the other gate. One leads to destruction, one leads to eternal life. That holds true at any time. That holds true to today or the day that Jesus spoke those words. In 1 Kings, going back to the Old Testament, we see Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, verse 14, it says, "And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. I alone am left." Do you ever feel like Elijah sometimes? "It's down to me and you, God. Well, if you go just a couple of verses later, in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. We sometimes think we're alone. We sometimes think, oh, it's just me. We need to remember Elijah. Do we ever do that? Oh, we're trying to do so much for God here at South Valley. And we're trying to do so much, and there's only so many of us. There's other people out there in the world working hard too. It's sometimes easy to get that Elijah complex. I alone am left. Wah, wah, wah. Don't think it's just you. There's always a remnant. Always a remnant with God. We just have to, our job is to make sure we're part of that remnant. In Acts 2:41, on the day of Pentecost, after Peter delivered that great gospel sermon, we see after he delivered and said the answer to their question, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. What shall we do? Verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized. And we see in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. God was rejoicing. The angels in heaven were rejoicing that day, the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 were added to the Lord's body. Was it any more rejoicing when one was baptized in Acts 8? When Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch, the angels rejoiced just as loud for that one soul as they did for 3,000. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. God rejoiced when that one soul decided to obey the gospel. The day that you chose to obey the gospel and were baptized, God rejoiced. Those of you that may not be baptized yet, that might still be studying, I urge you, continue to study. Don't be baptized to join a group. Don't be baptized out of pressure because grandma was baptized. Don't be baptized for any other reason than you want your sins forgiven. But when you do decide, the angels in heaven and God will rejoice just like when the eunuch was baptized. Just like when those 3,000 souls were baptized on the day of Pentecost. It's never been about numbers. I jokingly have said many times, we had 49 people today here to worship together. Great. We could fill this up. And I've said it many times. If we advertised and stood at the door and passed out $100 bills, it'd be standing room only. If numbers were, if we just wanted to get people in, we could pass out $100 bills. pass out gift cards to people. Twinkies and milk might do it for some. I know that might have got me in as a teenager. Twinkies and milk, man. Might do it today. But it's not about numbers. It's about souls. About souls. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter talks about Noah and those on the ark. On the ark, I made the comment earlier that God's people have always been in the minority, except on the ark. On the ark is the only time in human recorded history where God's people were in the majority. That's the only time. We've always been in the minority. But the Apostle Peter records in 1 Peter 3:20, he says, in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. In comparison to the population of the world at that time, eight souls were saved. It's never been about numbers. Peter repeats himself in 2 Peter 2:5, talking about how God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. We, in a world of the ungodly, are relatively very few. Compared to those in the world, wouldn't it be nice if through our efforts and God's powerful word, wouldn't it be something if we could ever get the majority of the people in the world to be saved? That's never been the case, but wouldn't it be nice? In 1 Samuel 17, we have the account of David and Goliath. David faced Goliath alone, by himself. He steps out. He wasn't even in the army. He wasn't even in the Israelite army. If you remember the account, his father, Jesse, sent him to check up on his brothers who were in the army. Goliath comes out and challenges them, is blaspheming their Lord, their God. David's standing back, oh wow, which one of you guys are going to go out and meet that challenge? It might even be one of my brothers. Which one of you are going to go out and face him? He's waiting. He's just like God was waiting. David wasn't the only one. Which one of you are going to go out there and answer the challenge? David's looking around. The men of the army who are trained in those things, they're not stepping out of rank to go answer that challenge. So David does. You talk about feeling like maybe you're out of place. The men of the army, the warriors of the army, do not step out of line to face Goliath. So David, the shepherd boy, does. He faced Goliath alone. But he was with God. In Judges, this is one of my favorite accounts of God whittling down. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. He didn't want to send the whole army out because they may think they did it. I'm going to whittle those numbers down. There's too many here. I want fewer people to where nobody can make a mistake. It wasn't us. It was God. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. The moment Gideon says, anybody that doesn't want to continue, anybody that wants to go on home and not serve anymore, go ahead and go. Two-thirds of them leave. I'm out of here. See you guys later. You're getting ready to go to battle with your brothers. You're given the choice. If you want to leave, go ahead and leave. And most of them do. We're worshiping again tonight at 5:30. Just saying. Just saying. Two-thirds of the people left. I'm not saying a word. Just saying we're worshiping again at 5:30. 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. This is how God was separating them. But God, I'm thirsty. It's hot out here. I don't know if you've noticed, it's kind of hot out there this time of year. It's hot. Here's some nice cool water from the stream. Let's get a drink. Some of them laid their shields, their swords, their spears down. They got down on all fours and just drank from it. Totally ignoring what they were out there to do. They're down on all fours, drinking straight from the water. Others knelt down with one hand, brought it to their mouth. They're still prepared. Their head is still up. They're still with the other hand holding their weapons. That's how God separated them. Those that were ready for battle, even though they were getting a drink, they were still ready for battle. God separated them. Okay, those of you that were afraid, 22,000 left. Let's go down to the water. Get a drink. Little things like that God looks at. Those of you that got down on all fours and drank right from the water, can't use you. But you 300 who drank and are still ready for battle, you're the ones I'll use. Out of, what was it, over 30,000, God picked 300. Out of over 30,000, wasn't about numbers. It was kind of. He wanted to make sure when they went into battle and annihilated the enemy, they wouldn't get too big-headed that we did it. because that battle was going to be God's. The 300 could have done nothing. But they annihilated the enemy. Only with God's help. In verse 7, then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you. And deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to its place. Esther 4:14. I love this verse. By the actions of one person, God's word was going to get done. It's going to get done one way or the other. Will it get done through you? Will it get done through you like it was Esther? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? What if the outcome of an event was up to you? We're going to leave it up to you personally. That's what it was. God's word will be carried out. Case closed. With or without you. How nice would it be if it was carried out because of you? Who knows whether we were here for a purpose or not? To preach the word of God to a certain individual, to have an influence on somebody. We might be the answer to somebody else's prayer to reach somebody. Don't lose heart. When you think you're outnumbered, when you think you're surrounded, when you think, woe is me, let's close out with a couple of scriptures. Matthew 28, what a daunting task Jesus gave the 12. He was getting ready to ascend back into heaven, and we refer to this as the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. This was a daunting task, but Jesus is going to be with him. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus was with them. This was a major task for the 12. But Jesus was with them. Psalm 23, verse 4. How many times did this ring true for David? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David, time and again, would go through that valley of the shadow of death. And God comforted him, guided him, held him up, was with him when he fought Goliath. Paul wrote in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we just keep that in mind, if God's on our side, does it really matter who we're going up against? It doesn't matter. I'd like to close out with, in Hebrews 13:4, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus will be with us. Whether we're by ourselves or whether we're together in a small congregation trying to fulfill God's word, Jesus will be with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Numbers. As long as we're on the right side, it doesn't matter how many we're against, because Jesus is with us. If you need to respond to the invitation, I've kind of gone over a little bit today. I tried to keep it at 11:30, but went over. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayers, through identifying with us here at South Valley, that you want to work and worship with us, whatever your need, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent, don't let another minute go past. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.